Mark chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. This is the reading of God's Word. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will pour out your blessings upon the preaching of your word. Oh Father, how we love your word. We desire to be filled with your word. And Father, we are confident that by your grace, we will not be disappointed. You are so faithful in providing heavenly manna so that our spirits will grow and grow. Grow to the measure of the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us realize how desperately we need your word. Without eating this heavenly manna, we will die. With that urgency, Father, let us hear your word. Through your word, let us hear the loving voice of our God. Bless your people. Bless the person who is preaching so that he will bring your word correctly. And we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark, we see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King. He comes and inaugurates his kingdom. The kingdom of God is intruding this world. Our Lord is winning and winning. He is triumphant. He binds Satan and plunders his house. Our Lord Jesus Christ furthers his kingdom. The citizens of the kingdom of God is increasing. And in our passage for today, we see our Lord Jesus Christ calling Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Verse 14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. This person, Levi, who is he? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, in chapter 9, we have the same event that we see in Mark chapter 2. And if you read verse 9, this is what it says. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. So Levi is Matthew, the person who wrote the book of Matthew. He is a tax collector, which means he is hated by everyone. I guess something just don't change. But not only that he is a tax collector, but he is a Jew who is a tax collector. To Israelites, a tax collector who is a Jew is a traitor who betrayed his God and his country and is now working for the Roman Empire. Extortion is a regular for a tax collector. And religiously, he is an outcast. And because of his frequent contact with the Gentiles, he is considered unclean ceremonially and thus is not able to come to the temple and worship. The law of Israelites, they completely reject him. Now Jesus is calling this Levi. God is calling someone who is considered cursed by God. This is why what happens in our passage is amazing, especially to Jews. In today's terms, Levi, this guy, is a person who others will look at and say, if he is Christian, then I do not want anything to do with Christianity. It's that kind of guy. Jesus is calling such man. However, the scribes of the Pharisees, who consider themselves righteous by their own good works, are not happy to see Jesus dining with many tax collectors and sinners. Why is he with those sinners? Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? We can't even think about those things those sinners do. By what they say, they clearly witness to us that they do not understand the gospel. There is none righteous, not even one. Our salvation is not through our righteous works. Because there is none who does good, there is not even one. Our salvation is only through and by our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and what he has accomplished for us. It is by him calling us. And in our passage, Jesus calls Levi, "Follow me." And here we see Levi hears his Maker's voice. The command of God, the whole universe was created by the commands of God. Levi, a sinner who was dead in his trespasses and sins, is being recreated by God's command. Levi, who was dead in sin, who was formless and void, and the darkness was all over him, now God with his command gives the light and life to him. Follow me. God is raising Levi up from the dead. God calls him out of death. God calls him out of darkness into his marvelous light. Just like Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb, God calls Levi, follow me. Just like the creation in which things came into existence according to the commands of God. Here we see Levi, him too, obeying God's command. Just like light came to be at the let there be light, at God's follow me, Levi got up and followed Jesus. Do you see the new creation? In Luke chapter 5, we see the same event, and there in verse 27 we read, and he, Levi, left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Luke adds that phrase, he left everything behind and got up and followed Jesus. Let us think for a moment. Why do you think Levi became a tax collector in the first place? Maybe for the wealth of this world? Maybe he wanted to have the things of the world? And a lot of them. But at the command of Jesus Christ, follow me. He leaves all behind. Do you see it? Do you see how he is completely changed? The purpose of his life is now changed. He now serves another king, the true king, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Levi now knows that he has something far greater than all the things of the world put together. Through faith that Jesus gave him, Levi sees the reality of heaven. Christ, Jesus Christ and his kingdom is now Levi's, his eternal inheritance. That's why he is able to leave all behind. Christianity is not unreasonable. It's not like the Buddhism, where you just have to leave all behind even though you're not getting anything better. But Christianity, God is giving us far greater things. And that is why we are able to leave all behind. Unless you don't see how better the things that God gives you. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Following Jesus means taking up our crosses. What does it show? It shows that it is a life of suffering because of our faith we have in Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10 verse 29, the cup that I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. John chapter 12 verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be. We all heard his call to follow. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus Christ, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Do you get what he's saying? This person thought following Jesus, he will get treasures of this world, but Jesus says, do you know what you're talking about following me? Even birds of the air have some place to live. But I do not even have a place to lay my head. You still want to follow me. Verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, our Lord sounds pretty unreasonable. But you understand these people who say these things, it's not because they love their family, but it is an excuse not to follow Jesus. And they understand that their excuses have to be pretty good ones. Don't you think? Your excuses have to be very good ones. Otherwise, people are going to think you're bad. So we do come up with very good reasons not to follow Jesus Christ. Very good reasons that this world will hear and say, oh yeah, if that's the reason, of course you don't have to follow Christ right now. Very good reasons, don't you think? These cannot follow Jesus. They will not follow him. They will make another good reason not to follow him. But Levi follows him. In him, we see the true picture of a true Christian. No, we are not talking about all of us selling everything we have today and come to church and living together. No, that is not what we're talking about. And please don't do that. We live as though we have nothing, and we live as though we have everything in Jesus Christ. The things of this world really doesn't matter to us. We live as if we do not have anything. We live as if we do have everything. This is a Christian living. To us, true Christians, Jesus promises. Well, let us read what he promises. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Chapter 10, verse 28. Peter began to say to him, Peter, always quick to say these things to Jesus Christ, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." It is so true. Of course, it's God's word. Anybody who left all the things of this world, even their family, in the present age, you received 100 times more. Just look around how many brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers you have in the church. But he says, presently you will receive 100 times more, but with persecutions. And you wonder why he would put that in there. But more importantly, in the age to come, you will receive eternal life. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and verse 30. "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So all of you who heard his calling, "Follow me," and you left everything behind and followed Jesus Christ, to you, eternal life and the kingdom of God and the eternal fellowship of heaven with Jesus Christ our God, that is promised, that is already given to you for you to enjoy. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand what has already happened to you. If you are a Christian, you heard his voice to follow, and you got up and already following. And you cannot look back. You got to leave all behind. The things of this world is not your purpose. And from verse 15, we read this, and it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house. Oh, beautiful picture. In his house, in Jesus' house, people are eating and drinking with him. It happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Levi and other sinners who are now made by God the citizens of kingdom, the citizens of heaven, who are made to be God's sons, they are seated with Jesus our God, and they are drinking and eating with him. Do you see our heavenly reality in this passage? This is our present reality of heaven. This is exactly what is happening as we participate in the Lord's Supper. You have been invited to the heavenly banquet. Yes, sinners are invited. Isaiah chapter 25. Verse 6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Do you see how in our passage the promises of God is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We too right now are participating in the heavenly banquet, the wedding banquet of our Lord Jesus Christ, seated with God at his table and drinking and eating with him. And I pray that you will see that reality as you come to the table of the Lord. Do you see? There is so much joy. And even as you see yourself seated at his table, eating and drinking with God, do you see how all our sins have been forgiven? Do you see how our eternal salvation is completely and perfectly accomplished? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, look at your heavenly reality through God's word. It is amazing sight. However, the scribes of the Pharisees, they do not like what they see. They do not like what they see. even though they see sinners eating with God himself, they don't like it. Why? Because it is different from the heaven that they have imagined with their sinful hearts, their sinful minds. They believe that they are saved because of their righteous acts, and they think they are better than others. They cannot allow those sinners to be their fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answers, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Everyone who is truly invited to this banquet knows how he or she is a filthy sinner. Sinners who deserve the eternal damnation of God. Those who truly follow Jesus know that without Christ, they will die forever in hell. But that is not how Pharisees see things. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 31. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward, so as to believe him. Brothers and sisters, heaven is not a place where all the righteous people are gathered, righteous in their own righteous acts. Heaven is a place where sinners gather, but made righteous by what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished. God came to call the sinners. And if you feel that you're just even just a little bit better than other people, you still don't get it. You still don't understand the gospel. It's not because you're better than others that God has saved you. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 says, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yes, the amazing gospel indeed. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you see yourself as a sinner who truly deserves the eternal judgment, eternal damnation of God in hell forever? Do you acknowledge, like Paul, that you are the foremost sinner of all? Do you? Then you are already called by Jesus Christ. You heard his voice, follow me. And you have left everything behind and followed Jesus Christ. And in this we are together. We acknowledge that we are worse than Levi. We are the foremost sinners of all. But even then, Jesus Christ came to us and called us. He came and visited us and called us righteous in His sight in Jesus Christ. And He now works in us to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And one day we will be completely, perfectly glorified. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you come to the table, and those kids and others who are not able to come for various reasons, but if you believe in Jesus Christ, you could do the same. As you come and eat and drink with our Lord Jesus Christ at His table, brothers and sisters, see how your sins are completely forgiven, how your salvation is completely accomplished, how you are now a citizen of heaven, how you are now sons of God, how you are now having heavenly fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But more importantly, as you come, see Jesus Christ, who has accomplished all this for us, and who is now welcoming all of us to Himself. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you come to Jesus, remember that you have left all behind. You must understand that. You must understand. And I want you to compare. I invite you to compare. As you come to Jesus, what you are getting in Jesus Christ and what you have left in this world, compare. And if you like the world better, you will never be able to follow Christ. At least in your intelligence, you have to know that this is better. But that is not good enough. But still, you start from there. In your heart. If you're truly Christian, if Holy Spirit lives in there, I know that in your heart, deep in your heart, you know Jesus is far better than anything this world can offer to you. Brothers and sisters, as you come to the table, understand you left all behind. You must understand that. As you come to Him, rejoice. Rejoice. Please rejoice. Because worldly people will not rejoice because there's so many things that they want in this world, they just cannot leave it behind. So it's not about being happy as you come to Jesus. No, it's actually not a good thing. But brothers and sisters, I trust God. When He works in you, gives you faith, you will know the truth. And the truth will truly set you free. Set you free from sin and set you free from this world. With that freedom, come. Come to your God. Rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Be very happy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Yes, There's no one and no other thing that we desire except our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as we follow Him, we have left everything behind. And yes, you have given us 100 times more. And you have given us eternal life. Life with God forever and ever. Oh Father, let us by your grace be able to truly witness what has really happened to us and what kind of life that we are living in Jesus Christ. Bless Christ in heaven. Bless all your people who come to this church, that they will clearly understand the gospel. And because of the gospel, they rejoice. We thank you, God. Receive much glory from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.